the night that our Lord instituted his sacred feast of the Lord's Supper. That same night, as he washed his disciples' feet, these words are taken from John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Many years ago, I was working at a car dealership, and I was just working in the service area. There were a number of mechanics in there, and service manager, and parts manager, and so on, probably about 10 people or so in the shop. And one customer was blowing up at the service manager and just really laying into him and giving it to him, and slammed his fist on the counter and went walking out past the car I was working on, and I happened to look over and I recognized him, so I ducked down as fast as I could. I recognized him. He was a pastor in the area. And the service manager happened to make his way over to see me because he saw me duck down. And he said, "You know that guy?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I do." He said, "He's our worst customer. He's the hardest person that we have to deal with." And I said, "Well, it's kind of sad. He's actually a pastor in the area." And the service manager said something to me. Remember, his name was Elmo. And Elmo, who himself was not a Christian and made no bones about that, but Elmo said to me, "Well, if he's a Christian, he sure doesn't want to make me come to his church." Ralph Waldo Emerson one time said this, apparently to somebody who was being such a jerk to him, "What you are speaks so loudly that I can't hear what you say." Who in our lives might be surprised to find out that we profess faith in Christ? What store manager, what cashier, what athletic opponent, what other casual acquaintance that we may have, or worse yet, what fellow Christian someday, which fellow Christian someday might be surprised to have you sitting near them at the Feast of Salvation in heaven? Remember, my dad used to say to us a lot as kids, "If you were ever brought to court on the charge of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?" And in addition to that, who might show up as a witness against it? It's sad when we see in our own lives that quite often our own words and the way we treat people and so on doesn't always reflect the love that God has shown to us in Christ our Lord. God's vineyard, his kingdom, is a kingdom. It's a vineyard of love. It's been established by love. It's the very thing that causes it to move and to grow. He started with the root of his love toward us in his heart that caused him to encapsulate that love in the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ, sending his Son into the world. It was that same driving love that caused his Son to go to the cross and to stretch out his arms to take the full guilt for all of the acts of lovelessness that we've ever done in our lives, to make atonement and pay for them before God so that we could now be forgiven. It's that same love of God that caused his Son to rise again. It's the same love of God that he's taken and packaged into words in the scriptures, that he's packaged into water and into bread and wine, into the office of the public ministry. It's that same love of God through those means of grace that comes to us and works on our hearts and souls. It's even the love of God that shows us our sin so that we realize how badly we need a Savior. We could never get to heaven by ourselves. That's all part of his love, because it's intended also to bring us that precious, sweet message of the gospel, what Christ has done for us. And you and I, who've been brought to faith in Christ, it really ultimately is all part of that same love that goes back to the heart of the Father, that caused the whole activity of Christ's life and death and resurrection and the whole ministry. All of that is built around this moving, living organism of love in the heart of God, and it has now reached into you and me, touched our consciences and our souls, bringing us to faith in Christ. God didn't do that by force. He didn't do it by being mean to us. He didn't do it by fear. He made you one of his children and believers out of love. It was love that grabbed you. It was love that now possesses your soul and makes you look forward to going to heaven. That's all activated and moved by this organism of God's love. And Jesus says about this growing vineyard of God, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, and apart from me you can do nothing." So it is just natural for those who are connected to Christ by faith, who've had this love reach them and touch them and mean so much to them, it is just natural for them to want to love others. St. Paul even put it this way when we look out at the unbelieving world. He said, "From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." From now on, we're going to look at everybody else, knowing what God has done for us, knowing what Christ has done for us, and knowing that Christ was willing to shed his blood, to give his life, and to suffer hell, even for the unbelievers who will reject him eternally, that he still loved them. Certainly, we ought to love them as well. But this love is to be displayed in the vineyard of Christ, especially among the fellow branches, especially among those who are of the household of faith with us, to fellow believers. Notice what Jesus says: "By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." A theologian named Paul Kretzmann put it this way: "This manifestation of brotherly love should be a sign, a criterion, whereby the people of the world in general might at all times recognize Christians as Christ's disciples." When we consider others more important than ourselves, when we treat them with love and respect and decency and compassion, that's just a tiny little way of reflecting that enormous same love that God has so graciously shown us in Christ. It shows that we belong to the vine, that we're growing in that same organism. Just this morning on the news, I just heard part of this. Maybe some of you saw the story better than I did. There was a woman just recently, beautiful young lady, who had somebody walk up to her, another woman, and throw acid in her face. And it has deteriorated most of her face. She's lost most of her nose. Luckily, she was wearing sunglasses, so it didn't blind her. But she is now disfigured for the rest of her life. And in the interviews with this woman, it was very clear she was professing her faith in Christ. And then she went on to say that someday she hopes to meet this lady to tell her that she forgives her. What a powerful testimony that is to the world about the same love that has reached this woman. In the ancient church, one of the things that drew a lot of heathen people to Christianity was just this love that could be inside of them, especially the love they could show toward their fellow Christians. Just think what a high value that God places upon these little acts of love and kindness in our lives. How much God loves to walk through his vineyard and see the grapes growing on his branches. One commentator put it this way: "In Solomon's temple, everything was overlaid with pure gold, and God loved to see that. In his spiritual temple that is in us, that we are, love is to be that pure gold that is overlaid in everything we do. In the eyes of God, love and acts of love are even superior to the ability to perform miracles. There are even heathen and unbelievers that have been given the capability to do that. But true love is the mark of a believer. It is greater than all other gifts." And if you look at our Lord's words in the judgment scene recorded about in Matthew 24, about how he will sit and judge all nations and so on, he will say to those who believed in him and put their trust in him, When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink, and so on. Even though they're not depending upon these acts of love for their hope of getting into heaven, it will be the very thing that God himself points to show that we were connected to the vine of Christ, our one and only Savior. May we in our lives give God, the great vine dresser, may we give him many reasons to stop and pause at the branches of our lives and to marvel at the grapes on us. By his grace, amen.